Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on your short list of qualified candidates using an online dashboard. Get started today at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast.
With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. The new credit card soon to be rolled out by Apple and Goldman Sachs is being watched very carefully by Silicon Valley and Wall Street to see just how well the tech and finance worlds can get along. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Data from the Bureau of Economic Analysis shows that U.S. workers' income has not been keeping pace with scarce labor and unemployment levels at a 50-year low. The Bureau says that employee pay and benefits as a percentage of gross domestic income fell to 52.7% in last year's third quarter for the fourth straight quarterly decline. It was as high as 57% in 2001 and even 59% in 1970. Now, while the labor share has fallen, business profits are quite healthy. Income of corporations, proprietorships, landlords, and other businesses have climbed from less than 12% of GDP in the 1980s to more than 20% today. The Wall Street Journal Outlook column points out the numbers reflect a decades-long trend that has coincided with stagnant middle-class incomes, also lower union membership, and increased global trade. While corporate profits benefit some households in the form of dividends and higher stock prices, wages are the biggest source of income for most Americans, meaning that wealth is being distributed more unevenly than before. And if you've been forking over more cash for things like avocados, olive oil, and nuts, you can thank consumers' newfound love for monounsaturated fats, what some call the good fat. In fact, since 2013, average prices have climbed as much as 60%. Same goes for salmon, which is full of omega-3 fatty acids, another form of healthy fat. The Wall Street Journal's Lucy Kramer writes, from Mexico to Norway to New Zealand, avocado growers, fish farmers, and butter producers are struggling to increase output so they can meet surging demand. But environmental constraints and other challenges are limiting how much they can churn out. As an example, salmon need very clean water with the right amount of oxygen in a specific climate, which limits where they can be grown. See the full story at WSJ.com or the WSJ app.
Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on your short list of qualified candidates using an online dashboard. Get started today at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast.
Silicon Valley and Wall Street are closely watching plans by Apple and Goldman Sachs to roll out an Apple credit card that will ultimately help iPhone users manage their money. There's a lot at stake here, and Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Rudiger is here to explain. So, Peter, in the story you co-wrote in the Journal, you mentioned the messy collision of finance and technology. Both companies here have a lot to gain, but this can also be a thorny path.
Tech companies, you know, especially some startups in the Valley, often are tagged with the mantra of they'd like to move fast and break things, right? Banks and financial companies are very highly regulated so that they don't move fast and break things. So any partnership between the two, if a tech company wants to do something in financial services, they usually need a bank or another financial company to help them move money, to help them lend money to their customers, to help them store money. And because of that, each one of those points needs to be negotiated pretty thoroughly.
Apple brings a broad and loyal customer base to the table here, and Goldman has wanted to venture further into consumer banking. And Goldman is spending an enormous amount of money on this venture.
That's right. We reported last week that internally some of their initiatives to build things like customer call centers for if you have a problem with your Goldman Apple credit card to call in, to just building an internal payments network to help move money around, is going to cost Goldman around $200 million to build. And that's because they just haven't done anything like this before. If you think of other big banks in the country, JP Morgan Chase or Bank of America or Wells Fargo, they have been consumer banks for decades, if not, you know, more than 100 years. Goldman Sachs just got into this business in 2016, so they're really building everything from scratch.
Now, Goldman inside the bank has been trying to cut costs, but this really shows that they see this banking venture as a potential very strong stream of revenue.
Absolutely. And not only this venture being a strong stream of revenue, their position in the market as being a strong differentiator. So what we reported is that Apple actually talked to a couple different banks about providing the service that Goldman is providing with this credit card, including Citigroup, JP Morgan, you know, banks that are probably bigger names on Main Street that have done credit cards before. But what kind of sealed the deal for Goldman is that they didn't have any of the relationships with maybe different retailers or brands that might be chafed if they were working with Apple, because Goldman was starting from a blank sheet of paper. They could agree to things and build things for Apple that they couldn't get at other banks.
You know, there's a risk factor here for Apple. You mentioned the fact that Goldman is not aligned with other companies. Plenty of banks, their credit cards are used by consumers with the Apple Pay payment system. It seems like it's unclear so far how they'll feel about Apple cozying up to one bank in particular.
That's right. You know, there are thousands of banks whose credit cards are compatible with Apple Pay, and Apple Pay itself is a big growth engine for Apple, and they really can't, you know, do too much to annoy those other partners by, let's say, favoring a Goldman Sachs credit card, moving it to the top of an Apple Pay wallet, wanting to make that too much of a default choice, because, you know, you run the risk of a big bank saying, you know what, just because of competitive reasons, I want to disable all my cards in Apple Pay just because I don't think we're on a level playing field.
We've seen banks such as JP Morgan Chase spend money lining up perks and things like that to attract banking customers. But neither Goldman nor Apple, in the journal story you write about, they don't seem to have an interest in going that route.
No, that's a very expensive route to go. You have folks like American Express and Citigroup and JP Morgan Chase, even some regional banks like US Bancorp, all trying to one-up the other ones on rewards, usually for things like travel and points for hotel stays and stuff like that. That gets to be a pretty expensive arm race. And where Apple and Goldman are coming in is, let's see if we can differentiate ourselves by focusing on something else. So there's somewhat of a focus on financial wellness and health, rewarding good spending patterns. But there's always some element of, you know, credit card companies want people to spend and in some cases keep balances because that's how they make money. And their partners who might want to encourage good spending habits are sometimes working at cross ends.
And Goldman is looking to bring in a new generation of customers to recognize the Goldman brand and to trust their financial know-how. And for Apple, in this era now of iPhone sales that are leveling off, this could mean a good shot in the arm in terms of revenue to the general ledger.
That's right. We've heard a lot from Apple executives about the desire to build their services business. Now, we talked about Apple Pay. That's part of it. But, you know, they're also building a pretty big movie and TV production studio. We spend money on content. So as their device sales slow, they're looking at outside services to help offset some of that shortfall. And for sure, this credit card is part of that.
All right. Well, it's a good story to follow in the Wall Street Journal and see how it all unfolds. And that's Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Rudiger here in our studio. Peter, thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.